Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, Israelite.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen.
Can you hear us?
Can we be heard?
Yeah, everybody's mic is down muted.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family.
Okay, there we go. All right.
Hey, yeah, we got to hear y'all loud and clear.
Okay, good. You got a good feedback.
Yeah, you
too.
Do. Yeah.
Oh, I owe this money. I paid for this Bluetooth. There you go. I better hear me loud and clear. I better hear my heartbeat and me breathing.
Whoa.
What'd you say, bro? We better hear your pulse.
Heartbeat.
He said we better hear his pulse.
Heartbeat.
Amen.
And what I want to, I just want to ask everybody, I'm going to unmute everybody's line this evening because last night I muted everyone and then I could not unmute everyone. President Nicole was asking questions and we had quite a few hands up to answer this question, but Blog Talk wouldn't let me unmute their lines or whatever. It's the 5G, whatever technology is going on. So I'm asking everybody, I'm leaving your lines open. Please mute your lines. And if you have any questions or comments on it, you know, anything, then you unmute your lines. Out of respect, please mute your line. If you do not do so and we hear feedback, I'm going to mute everybody's line. You're just going to have to wait until the end of the lesson. Amen.
Yeah, but it's
going to
work out at the end of the lesson.
It is going to work out at the end of the lesson. We're positive here. Amen. Right. But I just want to let everybody know all your lines are open right now. Goodbye. Mute your lines. Goodbye. Goodbye. Amen. Right. Go ahead, baby. Introduce your baby brother.
Yeah, baby brother.
Yeah.
Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water from Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight is the Thursday night edition. You have, coming out of Peoria, Illinois, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class with your brother, Isaiah Brown.
Cuckoo! I was ready today. I ain't choking.
Wait. You should have seen him, Isaiah. He had his hand up to his mouth, get ready to do it, and I did it. You should have seen him. Like, he just had him. He said, do that. Yes, I did. Oh, you said it.
Man.
Okay.
All right, I get the last one.
Yes.
Okay, so tonight, y'all in for a doozy. Why did God give that woman a manly stomach? Now, I know, first of all, you probably said, what, an 8-pack? Because women got 4-packs. So what you mean? Did he give her an 8-pack? Did he give her a 6-pack? Just courage, man. Pure courage.
Yeah.
That's all it is, just courage. We're going to turn this over, man. Our brother Isaiah, I can't wait to get into this precept. all praise you, brother. Shalom, shalom.
And remind everybody to
please
mute their
mute
lines. If they don't,
please.
I'm going to do it.
And you don't want Ray to do it because you may not be unmuted forever. She mutes you. She may mute you into oblivion.
Ow.
They talking? What?
Hey, grace and peace, man. You know what?
Grace and peace.
It's lovely, though. It's a lovely day. It's a lovely day. God's with us. We go through the things. The Lord won't put us through anything that we can't handle. We just have to learn how to muster our strength. You know what I'm saying? The strength he give us. You know what I'm saying? And that strength is a form of a bond that we can be with the Lord one day. So we ain't got
to
worry about this. We ain't
got to
worry about that.
What I'm gonna do now, amen. So Brother Isaiah can start with his precept this evening. I'm gonna mute everybody's line. If you have any questions or comments, just press the number one. Amen, amen, and amen.
Job was right. See, now everybody gets left in the room. See?
Y'all got that. Okay, all right. Thanks, Jack.
Okay, Brother
Isaiah. Amen. Yo, slow,
bro. Oh, yeah, you know how it goes. When before the precept started, everybody wanted to text you. That's my baby sister texting me. Hey, bro. I said, hey, sissy, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm about to be breathing kind of hard in a couple of seconds, so I'm going to call and talk to you later. But yeah, it's good. But yeah, grace and peace, family. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show. To the spirit of that, we got feedback already. All right, yeah, we got it. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, perfect. All right, perfect. All right, grace and peace to the brothers and sisters that are tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show. To the spirit of meekness and charity, thank you for tuning in. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching a lesson, and the reader tonight is Brother Nakomi, as always on every Thursday, also a.k.a. Lil Israel, who did a flaming phenomenal lesson yesterday. And praise God, I got some great understanding. I even hit on my mind today, like, yeah, I know the light water and earth is not. You know, so all praises, man. It's a great thing, beautiful thing. But the name of the precept today, brothers and sisters, the name of the precept today for the second time, in case we have any new listeners tuning in right now, the name of the precept is called, why did God give that woman a manly stomach? Because before getting to the precept, you know, I did somewhat of this precept before about a woman and her sons. And we was just basically just chopping up the popsicle so we understand that people lost their lives because they didn't want to eat the pig. And if you do your own proper research as well, you can go into history or grab a Frederick Douglass book or something, or you know, just one of the books of us in slavery. And then once you understand the stories, you also understand that they had to force our ancestors to eat pig. You know, and I wanted to put this in the precept so bad, but the thought came too late. So I did my best to try to hurry up and try to find the book. It was a Frederick Douglass book that I was picking up reading. And I wanted to grab some things out of it, but I just wasn't able to because it came too late. So best believe that we're going to have a part two or even a part three, God willing, in the future on this topic. But the whole thing is that we have to come to the conclusion of what the precept is talking about. The precept is going to talk about why and how God gave this woman a manly stomach. Because we understand that the whole conversation in the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7 was the courage and strength of people who decided to lose their life because they did not want to offend God. But at the same point in time, once you really understand what's going on in that passage, it was far more that was going on. It was a whole lot more that was going on. Because you got to understand, when we was in slavery, I'm not talking about the ones according to the Bible, but just over here in America, you know, they had different tactics and different ways of to get the people to kneel down to them. You know, they'll do sexual things to the man in front of his family. They even had some people, they even had some of the brothers' bodies mutilated. And what I mean by mutilated is that they had their arms, they had their legs tied up, smacked the horse on the behind, and ripped their body apart. Right? And they'll let his family see it so the woman can be in terror. Terror. And what do you think she's going to do? She's going to tell her children, you better listen to Master. Because if you don't, the same thing that's going to happen to your daddy is going to happen to you. And I'm just giving you my own form of words, but you can look this stuff up and find it. Because it's obvious that the people in that time didn't have that manly stomach, even though that they did what they had to do to survive. But the whole thing is that in order to break, when the dad is not around, when the father is not around, you got to break the mother. And you break the mother by doing what? Torturing the children. So when you torture the children, she being outraged, she screaming, she crying, please, no, 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 that and the other. What do you think that's going to do? It's going to make the other individuals faint. I mean, the other individual's heart will faint. So if their heart faint, they win. Eat this pork chop and go on with the rest of the people. God didn't want that to happen. Because he did not want that to happen, he gave her a manly stomach. The same thing that happened to Jesus Christ, where he was tempted of the devil. After his temptation was over with, the angels came and nourished him. When Jesus Christ had to die on Passover, what happened? The angels had to come and strengthen him to go through what he had to go through. Same thing with that woman. And even the same thing with us. So according to the scriptures, we're going to look through this story and to understand how powerful this subject really is. And this is only the half I'm talking about. Because remember, the other portion of this precept, why I asked Sister Ray to put that verse up in the book of Isaiah chapter 66, verse 14 and 15. We go get on that too and understand that this is really how big the picture is. So, Brother McCombie, you online, big bro?
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. To wow.
All right. Amen. Amen. All praises. All praises. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get started with the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother McCombie can read whatever the Father put on his heart. All right. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All wisdom cometh from the Lord, and is with him forever. Who can number the sand of the sea in the drop of rain in the days of eternity? Who can find out the height of heaven in the breadth of the earth in the deep in wisdom? Wisdom hath been created before all things, and the understanding of prudence from everlasting. The word of God Most High is the fountain of wisdom, and her ways are everlasting commandments. To whom hath the root of wisdom been revealed? Or who hath known her wise counsels? Unto whom hath the knowledge of wisdom been made manifest, and who hath understood her great experience? There is one wise and greatly to be feared. The Lord sitteth upon his throne. He created her, and saw her, and numbered her, and poured her out upon all his works. She is with all flesh according to his gift, and he hath given her to them that love him. The fear of the Lord is honor and glory and gladness and a crown of rejoicing. The fear of the Lord maketh a merry heart and giveth joy and gladness and a long life. Whoso feareth the Lord, it shall go well with him at the last, and he shall find favor in the day of his death. I've read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. You already know what my next button will come. We can go and hold that for the last one. We can hold that for the last one. Well, you find this stuff quick, bro, so all praises, all praises. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get into the precept. And you know, and when the Lord reveals something new to me, I like to do it in a small project to deal with it and make it bigger for a later time. So this is a short precept, you know, just to put something on your mind and to give the audience a chance, opportunity to put their input into the precept. Or, you know, you might want to add something into it, or you might have a testimony. So the precept isn't going to be long. But it's enough to give everybody a chance to speak their word. If Sister Red, unmute everybody's line. So all praises. So let us get into this precept. Before we get into the woman with the manly stomach, we got to understand what's taking place. So what we're going to do is go into the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. The book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. And when we start the book of Maccabees, chapter 7, 2 Maccabees chapter 7, all we want is verse 1, and we're going to be breaking up a couple of things with other scriptures to see what's going on. So all we want is verse 1, the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7, verse 1. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
2 Maccabees chapter 7, starting at the 1. It came to pass also that 7 brethren with their mother were taken and compelled by the king against the law to taste swine's flesh, and were tormented with scourges and whips.
Right, so the whole family ain't going. The 7 brothers and the mama, they ain't going. You know, you would have thought a little beat down would have made them break down and just go ahead and eat it. You know, they could have, you know, they most likely would have been alive if they just went on and took heed to it. But you got to understand, when God reveal himself to you, it's just some things we just not going to do, and we just got to take the beat down for it. You know, that's just when you just physically and mentally look at the passage that Brother McCormick just read. But at the same point in time is something even bigger took place. Right? So they know, you know, he know they eating his pork, and he knows because of the laws of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and stuff. He already know that. They already know this stuff. So they're going to whip and beat them to see if they can break them to eat this swine's flesh. So if you think about it, it ain't too much about the food anymore. It's about, are you willing to lose your life? Eat this pork and y'all go about your business. No, we ain't doing it. We'll beat them down. We still ain't doing it. Oh, okay. You don't want to do it? So let me see how long you can hold out. Let me see how long you can hold out. And when I was looking at it that way, it brought me back to that conversation the precept that Elder Job did, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, when they was telling him, come down, come down. You know, when it was like, well, he saved other people and woke people from dead, now you do it. You know, and when you understand that conversation, it was nothing but Satan and devil trying to get Jesus Christ to come down from the torment and pain. It's the same exact thing. So it was all about the food, but now it's how long you can hold out. How long could you hold out from this whooping? How long could you withhold this beat down? I know you tired of getting beat. We've been beating you all day. Eyes probably black and bruised, lip busted, nose cracked, ribs shattered. How much of this beatdown can you take? Because I think if we beat you good enough, you go take heed and eat it. But how important was it to this family and mother not to eat that pork? What would they refused They refuse for the heathen to say something. What do you think they refuse the heathen to say? Let's check it out. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. And what we're going to do is read verses 28 through 30. Because remember, we just read in the book of 2 Maccabees 7 and 1, the family being tormented. They're being whipped. They're being beat. You know what I'm saying? All these matter things is happening to them because they refuse to break the dietary law. But how important was it for them to maintain that beatdown and to be strong? Because they refused for the heathen to say something. And let's find out what that is. We're in the book of Luke chapter 14. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up in verse 28. And we're going to read verses 28 through 30. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 14, starting at 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Least haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
That's all they was worried about. Because if they would have went on and just dragged their broken down bodies over there and ate that pig to stop the beatdown, all they would have said was in verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In a metaphorical way, it said that they did all this. They got this whole whooping and beatdown. They did all this about God, all this, and God, all that, the dietary law, keeping the laws of our father, their fathers and stuff, to turn around that they weren't even able to finish it. He was not able to finish it. So this is what they refused. They refused to play an act on eating this food so the heathen can be up in their face letting them know that, hey, you weren't able to finish it. This could happen to anybody. It could happen to any of us that just dropped the ball and just, you know, it's too much and go back into the world. Everybody go mocking and laugh in their little corners when you're not around. He thought he was holy. He couldn't even finish it. To understand and to show us is that no matter how hard things get, we got to stay strong and keep going. So let's get back into this story. Now let's go right back into the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. The book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. And what we're going to do this time is picking up at verse 2. And all we want is verse 2. The book of 2 Maccabees chapter, the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7, verse 2, and all we want is verse 2. When you get it, Elder, go ahead and read.
2 Maccabees 7 and 2. But one of them that spake first said thus, what wouldest thou ask or learn of us? We are ready to die rather than to transgress the laws of our fathers.
All right, so we ready, man. Hey, we would rather die, man, to transgress the laws of our fathers. So what type of mindset and what type of wordings do you think they had to reverse in their head? Let's find this thing out. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 19. The book of Exodus chapter 19. The book of Exodus chapter 19. And all we want to come is verse 8. Exodus 19 and 8.
Exodus chapter 19 and 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
So when you go back into that conversation, man, we ready to die, man. We got to do this. It's because they understood and knew that that all that God has said, we go do and be obedient. So we vowed ourselves to God, you know what I'm saying? That's why I tell people you don't need to vow, because when you dump your head in that water, that you in a covenant forever. No need to be doing all this crazy vowing. Because all the words that God has said, we are going to do and be obedient. And these are the same words that they that was rehearsed into the brethren, the seven brethren, when they were being tormented. We got to do laws of our fathers. We can't eat this. You can punch me in my head as long as you want. You can sky me as long as you want. You can punch me in my face until my head is swole. I ain't eating that pork. Because my ancestors entered into a covenant with my father, with the God of our God Almighty. All that the king has said, we will do. And we will be very obedient to it. The Most High God of Israel gave us a dietary law. We will hold it until the day we die. We will not eat this pork. Because before we get into the bigger end of this stick, of this precept, we just got to bring it to you this way. So we get a better bit of an understanding of the conversation. So now let's go back into the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. The book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. And Brother Nakomi, when you get there, all we want is verse 3 and verse 4. 2 Maccabees 7, verses 3 and 4. When you get it, go ahead and read.
2 Maccabees chapter 7, 3, starting at the 3. Then the king, being in a rage, commanded pans and cauldrons to be made hot, which forthwith being heated, he commanded to cut out the tongue of him that spake first, and to cut off the utmost parts of his body, the rest of his brethren and his mother looking on.
So now this is a very interesting thing we're looking at, even though it's a tragedy. You know, it's crazy. You know, we know the brothers is looking on. But the whole conversation of this precept is the mother. My kids that I had in my womb for 9 months, pulled out and loved them from the time their eyes opened to the time that Antiochus the king closed. I love my children. But we got to understand something, brothers and sisters. When we get into the story of Eve, remember, her sorrows was greatly multiplied. And even in her conception, her way of thinking, her understanding, was greatly multiplied. And she will have more troubles with the world than how the man will have issues and problems with the world. If we have a definition, we're going to look that up pretty soon too. So how strong do you think the mother had to be to look on her children being slaughtered in her face? Because she's already multiplied in sorrows, even in her conception. Let's take a look at this behavior. Let's go to the book of Job chapter 3. The book of Job chapter 3. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up in verse 7. Because when a woman sees something like this, you know, she might just start going off the ruck and saying all sorts of things just because of her emotions and her feelings. You know, her sorrows is already greatly multiplied even in conception. Even though we know it's a childbirth, but you know, I'm going to check that what Elder said. You know, if you look that word up, it means even far more. You'll understand that a lot of things that pertain to this woman has been greatly multiplied. So when you think you're mad, she's really mad. Well, you think you mad for about 15, 20 minutes, she probably mad for about 4 or 5 days. But we're about to put these two women on a pedestal to show us why God had to make that woman with a manly stomach. Because if he didn't, what do you think would have happened? Let's find out. The book of Job chapter 3, we can read verses 7 through 10. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Job chapter 3, starting at the 7. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them
I'm sorry. Give me one second. That's nowhere near what I need. I meant to say Job 2 and 7. I'm sorry about that, Nakomi. The book of Job chapter 2, and we go read verses 7 through 10.
Job chapter 2, starting at the 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Doest thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips.
So we can understand if God didn't, you know, so we can understand what that woman could really have said if God wasn't really, really, really big on that part in the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7. You see, it's because her husband, Job's wife, her husband is a servant of Most High. She see him, you know, praising God always, doing the right thing, you know, pleasing God, doing the great things in the eyesight to please the Father. And then to turn around, she see her husband, all her kids dead. And her husband scraping ashes off his skin. Even though the devil played a part in it. But remember, the devil played a part with Jesus and all. He played a part with all of us. Because she'd be easy to get when she's easier to get when something she loves is being hurt. Just like that story, man, I wish y'all had brought it out, y'all. We're going to do a part two of this because I just wanted to mess around with this precept. But better believe, God willing, we're doing a part two of this precept. And I'm going to get all this stuff in that I'm talking about. Because she see her, so she see Job in pain and anguish. Her children dead. Everything is going down to pieces. She said, man, just curse God and die. I can't stand seeing you like this. Even though the devil had a part in it, because it was to get Job to curse God and die. I understand that. But the devil was able to get to the woman because the devil was there in the Garden of Eden when the Lord greatly multiplied her sorrows. So if he said so that's probably one of the reasons why the devil didn't take her out anyway after the Lord said he can touch all his possessions but save Job's life. He probably kept her around just to be the major end point of his destruction. But she's greatly multiplied, brothers and sisters. So that's why it is very important to be around, have your husband, if you have one, and through the grace of God, he's in the Word of God, or set yourself around righteous men who are trying their best to live and do this thing right according to the scriptures. So yes, black man, we do have to protect the black woman, any women that's trying to serve God. But we talking about this but we know what's going on here in this passage we read it. She's greatly multiplied. So that was an easy fix for him. Look at your husband. Look at all that, man. He doing all this for God, right? Where God at now? She probably crying and all other kind of stuff and just blatted out, man, curse God and die. Right? So now we got to put this conversation on the same pedestal of the woman in the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7. She ain't saying none of that. She ain't saying none of that. And even though she's seeing her sons being mutilated, tongue ripped out, chopped out, just because you don't eat no damn pork, we got to understand that this is your faith on the line. It was about the food to start off with, but now it's going to be, are you able to do this to the end of your life? That's what it's all about now. Can you hold out? Can you lose your life for God? But hey, God is merciful. He did this to his prophets. Why couldn't he do it to this woman? They know they was in the wrong. So when things go real bad for us, hey, if you really are serving the God, you don't get too angry and bitter. Because we all should understand that we deserve double the ass whooping in the first place. No matter how bad or reckless it get, we deserve double of a chastisement, of a beatdown. And since this lesson is so short, I might as well grab this scripture out. Give me a second. Let's go in the book of Matthew, chapter 10. It's an add-on. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And what we're going to do is read verses 28. This is a good one. Matthew 10 and 28, that one verse, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Right. Because now you got to understand the human body. If somebody constantly punch you in the face in the same spot, you're going to what? It's going to eventually numb, and most likely you're going to get knocked out and go feel nothing. Who knows? You get your brains blown out. That's probably a tenth of an inch of a pain, but you out. You know, if they drown you, what, you go to what? Well, survive 5 minutes before you faint out and die? If you get whipped to death, what's going to happen when you read up on this stuff? Your body is going to numb. Because I have a story here, right? Because, you know, I'm an ex-ball player. I used to play wide receiver in football back in Chicago. You know, my little fun days when I thought I was the hot stuff, right? And, you know, basically when you play, you know, like in the off seasons, me and my brothers and a couple of our friends and stuff, we used to play ball in the street. You know, we play tag football, you know, just in case if the parents playing soccer with the kids out there in the field. You know, we'll rather, you know, just play some street football. You know, we're in no cars roaming all the time, you know. But basically, you know, like when you ride a bike or you run it, you know, when you fall and slip, you know, you scrape yourself, right? You know, you get like a irritating, burning feeling, right? But this is back when my prime, well, you know, this is back when I was young, when I can jump super high, right? So let me tell you this story, right? It was me and my brothers, right? It was me and my brothers, right? My kid brother, that's younger than, a year younger than me, was a quarterback. You know, and me and the baby brother, we was the receivers and stuff like that, you know, cousins and stuff all out there. You know, having a good time, right? And so, you know, my brother was like, hike, you know. Well, before he said hike, I was like, hey, bro, I'm going to Hail Mary. No quick slants, no deep posts. I ain't doing no out routes, no in routes. I'm just going to blaze it and jump as high as I can to catch that ball, right? He said, okay, cool, right? So as soon as he said hike, boy, I must have blast speeded so dang on fast. My brother must have slung that ball so far. I ran as fast as I possibly can, right? I jumped so high off that ground. Caught the football, not paying attention. My elbow went all the way into the back of someone else's car. I had chunks of glass in my arm, right? And what I did foolishly was pull the chunk of glass out. And my arm was bleeding vehemently all over the place, right? But then when I held my arm, right, going into the house, you know, my auntie and uncle, you know, before they call me all type of stupid idiots, you know, for doing something stupid like that and definitely being on a football team, you might not be able to play no more ball. You know what I'm saying? I went into the bathroom, right? And, I had a towel on my arm. And I'm sitting here thinking, when I was cleaning myself up before we got into the car, why is it that it don't hurt as bad as the scrape did? Now, this is just me just telling my story. You know, I'm just going off of what I understand. I had chunks of glass all in my arm, but it didn't hurt nowhere near as much as a scrape did. You know, when you ride your bike or you slip and fall or something like that, you know? So going back into these scriptures, when somebody beating the hell out of you, even though you might get your torture and your pain and stuff like that, don't get me wrong on that. I know it's crazy and it hurt. But the same point in time is, for the fear of God and knowing what can happen to you in the second resurrection, you will take that beat down. But in our brothers and sisters, it's better to down the streets on what you believe than to take part of this westernized world and find yourself dying and then waking up and going to the lake of fire forever. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. So now what we're going to do is get back into this precept. Because we just read the book of Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. Verses 7 through 10. You know, with a woman that didn't really have that manly stomach to be strong enough through her loved one's adversity. Wasn't strong enough because it made her say what? Man, curse God and die. So what do the men got to understand about the woman? Let's go in the book of Genesis chapter 3. We're in the book of Genesis chapter 3. And Nicole, you're doing some blazing good reading, but we only got a couple more left, so you can take a sweet slow time, bro. But we're in Genesis 3 and 16. So when you get it, you go ahead and hit it.
Genesis 3 and 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
So we got to understand, don't get mad at us, sisters. You know, hey, get mad at grandmama. You know, he didn't say he was going to do this to you. That's what the Lord said he was going to do to you. But that's not why we're here. And we're going to break some stuff down. So we're in the book of Genesis 3 and 16. And I'm reading again. He said, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Towards who? The man. So do the conception and sorrows, it is greatly multiplied, far greater than the man's. So we all know what sorrows mean. Sorrows is just another term for adversity. But we never really did a proper research on the definition of conception. Because we think of conception, we just think of childbirth. Yeah, that's a part of it, but you got to constantly, you got to keep going. You just don't read and stop. You turn that damn car on and keep driving. Don't just park it and stop. Keep driving. And that's the problem we have. We keep stopping the car, not driving. The hell you stopping for? Keep reading the definitions, and you'll understand a better understanding on your adversity. So when you in certain situations, you know how to perform them better. So let's look at this thing right here. Let's look up the definition of conception. Conception. Noun. The definition of conception in a noun is idea, notion, which means a conception of belief about something, impression, an idea or opinion about something or someone. Especially one form without conscious thought or on the basics of little evidence. That's the definition of conception. And you can go further and further, but time won't allow me to do it because all that reading I was trying to do. So the way life rolls, the way life is going, your understanding, your way of thinking, it's greatly multiplied in sorrows. So that's why it's important. If God bless you with a good husband, roll with it. God bless you with some good men around you that's not playing in the book, that's really trying to do this thing right. Thank God and stay close to him. It's because it's the man's job to protect the woman. And once you understand how greatly multiplied she is in her sorrows and conception, then you got to understand we need to have a lot of patience with our sisters. Wives. And all. Because she's greatly multiplied. So when certain situations like this happen, like the one we read in the book of Job chapter 2, and like he cussed out. And to be honest, he said, you speak like a foolish woman. So he wasn't calling her a foolish woman. You said, at this moment, you're talking like one. Because I know that you multiplying your sorrows and you hate to see me like this. So I got to be stronger. Were you talking about the situation with your wife? But once we understand the multiplied in sorrows and conception, now we can get into the conversation on how God gave this woman a manly stomach. So let's go into the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 20.
Second Maccabees 7 and 20.
Oh, one second, bro. Nick, yo, you good, bro. You good. You are good. I just want everybody to know that we're not going to be reading the whole story of the slaughter of the family. We only here just to get the point across of the precept. But right now, we're in the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 20. When you get it, bro, we're going to read verses 20 through 21. When you get it, go ahead and read.
But the mother was marvelous above all and worthy of honorable memory. For when she saw her seven sons slain within the space of one day, she bare it with a good courage because of the hope that she had in the Lord. Yea, she exhorted every one of them in her own language, filled with courageous spirits, and stirred up her womanish thoughts with a manly stomach, she said unto them.
Amen. Right? Amen. Because it's one thing you gotta understand, y'all. God is not asking for the impossible. Like Nakoma is saying, telling us to figure out a way to jump over a building. So using my term, he literally asking us to figure out a way to jump past the Sears Tower. No, he ain't doing all that. Knowing that you was in the wrong and you deserve what you're doing is good enough for the Lord to call you humble and meek and temperate. Long suffering, gentleness. Because after all the sin we have done, we deserve double for our foolishness. So it's obvious that God was well pleased with this woman. And God has put on this woman multiple sorrows and in conception. So to make sure she hold her part of the deal, he had to give her a manly stomach. So she'd be able to stomach every single thing that's going on and to know that she has a reward at the appointed time. That's why she had that manly stomach for this first part of this precept. Now we understand why she got the manly stomach, because she was multiplying her sorrows and in conception. She probably won't be able to bear all that stuff because we've seen Job's wife. When things was good, praising God. But as soon as things got bad, curse God and death. Even though the devil played a part in it. But he was able to play that part because he was dead in the Garden of Eden when the Lord greatly multiplied her sorrows. So he already know what he need to do anyway. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, already said there ain't no secret you can hide from him. So he already knew how to get her because he know that she's greatly multiplying her sorrows. So that's why God gave her that many stomach, so she'd be able to hold down her crown for everlasting life. And now let's find out the big picture of what really happened also. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 66. The book of Isaiah 66, and let's find out what else took place that God made sure she's not a part of. The book of Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 17. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Isaiah 66, starting at the 15th. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariot like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord.
Praise God. Do y'all understand why we read that? Why I had Nakoma read that? When you just read the passage in verse 17, he said those that's in the garden, in the midst of the garden, eating swine's flesh, right? So they're doing it in secret, thinking anybody go see them, hiding behind Satan the devil, right? So these people that is eating this swine flesh know they're not supposed to be eating swine's flesh, for one. And for two, God gave that woman a manly stomach. So she won't end up in the same category that's these people that's in the book of Isaiah 66 and 17. The Lord made sure he gave her a manly stomach so she won't end up being a hypocrite. So all that slaughtering and beatdown wasn't in vain. So she don't have to worry about them when she get out the ground in verse 17. Or her sons. Because if they would have took hold of that pork, the heathen would have said they weren't able to finish it. We won. And the Lord would have came through and right there in the garden, eating swine's flesh in my eyesight. You will be consumed, saith the Lord. So that's why she needed to have a manly stomach. That's why she didn't hold on strong. So she won't end up being a hypocrite to go through all this stuff and bumping her gums on how God, how good God is, and how she's not supposed to be eating anything unclean that's written in the pages of this book, to turn around, throw all that to the wayside just to eat pork to please man and her children. So that's why God had to give her that manly stomach, to be strong and hold on. Yeah, you're losing your life, but guess what? You're going to be with me forever with your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your seven sons. But we got to understand something. The dad, the father wasn't around. Don't know what happened. Who knows? We ain't interested in that. But when women see things like that, she's already greatly multiplying her sorrows. So she will be more like what? Crying and screaming and doing everything she can to save her children. Just like the story we was reading about the Willie Lynch thing. To mutilate the husbands to keep the women in check. No, to so the women can see it, to keep the sons in check. But not this one we read in the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. The Lord blessed her with a manly stomach so they can take care of this thing and do this thing right. So they don't have to worry about the book of Isaiah chapter 66 and 17. You don't have to worry about being a hypocrite. And they also ain't got to worry about losing the faith. Because mama was able to hold it down and to encourage her sons to go ahead and take this whooping, because I'm going to see you at the time appointed with a crown and everlasting life. Now let's go in the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7, verse 41. And all we want is verse 41. Well, go ahead and read verse 41 and 42, Brother Nagomi.
41, 42? Okay. 2 Maccabees chapter 7, 41. Last of all, after the sons, the mother died. Let this be enough now to have spoken concerning thy adulterous feast and the extreme tortures.
Amen. So the mama lost her life too, but she got a crown appointed because God blessed her with a manly stomach to hold down these tortures and extreme tortures with her and her children, and to strengthen her because the Lord know that she's greatly multiplying her sorrows and conception and understanding and way of thinking will be more tried and tested than the man's is. So God blessed her and gave her that manly stomach. So what's it telling the sisters? That God can give you the exact same thing he gave this woman. So when things is rough and beat down, you don't think you can hold on? Lord, remember that woman in the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 7. I need a spirit like that. I need strength like that. And believe that God will give it to you, and you should be all right. Now let's go into the last spot in this book. Let's go in the book of James chapter 1 and 12. And then, Brother McCombs, you can go ahead and grab that script for me that you read for the beginning of reading. And we'll be done for tonight. We're in the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And all we want is verse 12, bro.
James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Amen, boy, and that's what they got. It said what in verse 12? It said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So whatever they done, you best believe that it's forgiven, because they held it down. Them sons were strong enough. God, all praises to the Father on that. They got everlasting life. They humbled themselves and understood that this is, if we got to go through this, we got to go through it, because all the sin we done, we deserve double. So, Lord, if I got to die like this and get a crown, then my life is a fence to me. I'm ready to die. The hell with this pork? I ain't eating it. Because, Lord, you said, blessed is the man that what? Endure temptation. Blessed is the man that endure temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We get that coming. And that beautiful mother that held it strong and still, the Lord even gave her manly stomach so she can go ahead and make, so the Lord made sure she had a crown for that appointed time. Because through her conception, because she's greatly multiplied and her sorrow was in conception, the Lord gave her an extra jump to make sure her sons are straight and to strengthen them, hold on to this whooping, be strong. I see you at that time appointed. Now, Brother McCormick, let's go ahead and get that last script out of this, and then we're done.
Okay, the scripture is coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13, and it reads, all wisdom cometh from the Lord and is with him forever. Who can number the sand of the sea and the drops of rain in the days of eternity? Who can find out the height of heaven, in the breadth of the earth, in the deep, in wisdom? Wisdom hath been created before all things, in the understanding of prudence from everlasting. The word of God Most High is the fountain of wisdom, and her ways are everlasting commandments. To whom hath the root of wisdom been revealed, or who hath known her wise counsels? To whom hath the knowledge of wisdom been made manifest, and who have understood her great experience? There is one wise and greatly to be feared. The Lord sitteth upon his throne. He created her and saw her and numbered her and poured her out upon all his works. She is with all flesh according to his gift, and he hath given her to them that love him. The fear of the Lord is honor and glory and gladness and a crown of rejoicing. The fear of the Lord maketh a merry heart and giveth joy and gladness and a long life. Whoso feareth the Lord, it shall go well with him at the last, and he shall find favor in the day of his death. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. May the Lord bless reading his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And you best to believe that them sons and that woman that the Lord blessed with that manly stomach through her conception and sorrows, they all found favor in the Lord. So through the grace of God, I hope you got to understand that this precept that is called. Why did God give that woman a manly stomach? I thank y'all for y'all time.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The lines are full, so I am not going to open up all these lines.
Can't open up all the lines.
Let's
do it.
Amen.
We're just going to ask everybody to, if you have any questions or comments, to press number one. Okay? Just press number one. If you have any questions or comments, so feel free. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, turn things over to you, Brother Job, Sister Raya.
Oh, praise.
Hold on. I'm going to go with the. Hold on. Amen.
Brother
Keith.
Hey,
Brother
Keith. Hey,
yes.
Shabbat Shalom, sis. Hey, we still here. The Lord won't put us through anything that we can't handle.
Amen. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Mary, your line is open. Are you muted, Sister Mary?
I was muted. I'm sorry.
Hey, Sister Mary. Smooches.
to the law of scripture. I enjoyed your lesson, Brother Isaiah. And you know somebody else that had faith like that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they put them in a furnace to burn them off.
Amen.
I want faith like that too.
All praise.
Good lesson, bro.
Hey, thanks, Sissy. It's always good to hear your voice.
Good reading, Brother Nakami.
Excellent reading.
That's right, man.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, big bro.
Shalom.
Okay. Great lesson, bro.
It's a certain
principle that she's dealing with and that we all got to deal with. I'm going to bring a couple of scriptures about this. You know what I'm saying? She dealt with a very trying situation, but guess what? Her spirit was, I'm going to take this manfully. I'm not going to trip. I'm not going to come out of my peace. I'm not going to, what she's doing, what I'm going to read is what he wants us all to do. And I'll read these two scriptures because this is the only way God can really deal with you. And this is how you know you're not of this world. So I'm going to go into 2 Esdras and the Apocrypha, and I'm going to go to chapter 14 and 13. And this is how the mind, when you're dealing with difficult things, when you're dealing with the things of the world, you can't deal with them the same as people in the world would deal with it. You got to be different from the world. But I'm going to read this, and it reads this. Now, therefore, set thy house in order, and reprove thy people, and comfort such of them as be in trouble. And now renounce corruption. Let go of mortal thoughts. He's saying, let go. It's time to be not a mortal. So let go of mortal thoughts. Cast away the burdens of man. Put off now the weak nature. He said, get out of this mortal body. Put off that weak nature. And set aside the thoughts that are most heavy unto thee, and haste thee to flee from these times. For yet greater evils than these which thou hast seen happen shall be done. Here he said, okay, wait when tribulation comes. Wait till these things. He said, this ain't nothing. He said, but your thoughts should be immortal anyway. And he said, the things that's heavy to you,
Amen.
We got to be different. You're supposed to put away this nature. But I'm going to show you again that in order to deal with God, in order to, we got to think differently. You know what I'm saying? Just because something frustrating or things going through, he wants you this. So we're going to see what he said to Esdras earlier. I'm going to 2 Esdras chapter 10, and I'm going to pick it up at the 30. 2 Esdras 10 and 30. Because the angel is dealing with Esdras, but Esdras is tripping. But he's going to talk to Esdras in a way. This will let me know God talked to the angels like this. But so, 2 Esdras chapter 10 and 30, and it reads this. And lo, I lay as one that had been dead, and my understanding was taken from me. And he took me by the right hand and comforted me and set me upon my, and said unto me, what ailest thee? And why art thou so disquieted? And why is thy understanding troubled in the thoughts of thine heart? So he said, what you tripping for? This is the angel coming at Esdras like this. And I said, because thou hast forsaken me, and yet I did according to thy words. And I went into the field, and lo, I have seen and yet see that I am not able to express. Now the angel finna get real with him. 33. And he said unto me, stand up manfully, and I will advise thee. He said, man, you're acting all wimpy. Say, stand up like a man, then I'll talk to you. When you stand up like a man. You know what that angel let me know? That's how the God talked to the angels. Let me act like, you know, saying just because something is got you messed up, so what you trying to, what you say, no, stand up like a man. I can't deal with you unless you stand up like a man. Then let me know God can't deal with you unless you stand up manfully. So with that, bro, I'm saying I'm just showing you a couple things that the Lord showed me that you got to be. She was an immortal. She put away all that she saw in front of her and just let it go. She unlikely was brought in Job's wife. No, she did what a normal woman would do. She did what somebody that is not immortal would do. Just start tripping. But see, when you're immortal, you don't let that stuff kind of bother you. With that, I yield to Mike. Great lesson.
Amen, bro. Powerful.
Amen.
I love that, man.
Amen.
Thank you. All praises.
Amen. Let's see.
All right.
See. I have Brother Eric, I think. Yep, that's Brother Eric. Yahawada. Shalom, shalom.
Hey.
Shalom, shalom. How are y'all doing?
Good.
That was a great lesson right there, though.
Amen.
Amen.
All praise.
All praises.
Okay, well, hey, if I can add something to this, man, I was drawn off of that strength of a woman, man, and we act like, you know, women is just supposed to be barefoot and naked, man, and that's just not true. You gotta hide that. You gotta hide those criteria, man. I mean, you know, what if Rebecca had fear in her heart, you know, that about concerning Esau and Jacob. You know, what if she had fear, then the covenant would have never went. So he had to give her curse. I'm gonna read this here. And this is Judges, the 9. And in verse 53, and Abimelech came up to Israel and encamped around one of our cities. And this woman did this. It's in verse 53. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, all to break his skull.
Right.
And then he called hastily to a young man, his armor bearer, and said on him, draw thy sword, slay me. That man came out of me, a woman slew him, and this young man thrust him through, and he died. What if she didn't have any courage to throw that brick at his head?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and this is the mindset that we have concerning women, you know. At least a woman had slayed me, you know. That's the world view. Israelites didn't look at it like that, you know. Israel, we viewed our women as we supposed to have. When the kingdom was right, they were educated. I'm gonna read Judges chapter 4, and he said, and this is Deborah, and he said, Barak said, if thou will not go with me, then will he said, but if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, I will not go. Now, Barak is not going to go unless Deborah go with him to go to. What if she was one of those women that was like, look, I can't stand all that blood and the gore and the people getting hacked up and all that? Well, Deborah wasn't one of them. She had a manly stomach.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
She can take that. She can look at men all chopped and hacked up because it's for the kingdom. And it goes on. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Mm-hmm. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. You know, we got this conversation all through the Word of God echoing, and we want to close our ears like, you know, our women ain't good for nothing but sex, and then when they get out of control with this mindset of nothing more than being a sex object and they become a hoes, then you wonder why you failed the mission because you didn't tell them their whole story. Scared in some cases. Maybe scared of what they may become. Maybe they get scared for what they may become, or they may get all beside themselves. Who knows? But you got to teach them. Like your brother said, they got to end up with a manly stomach at one point or another. You know? You got a lot of women that's in this world that to raise a family after the husband moved on or passed on, whichever one. Had to raise a whole house full of children. You hear the story. It was 12 of us, and my mama had to, you know, manly stomach, man. Doing what you have to do. Have to get up and go to work in the middle of the night and come home and it's dark. That's that conversation. And I love this pre-stuff.
Amen.
I love it. That's that good stuff. That's the stuff that, that the kingdom is built on. So, you know, April, I'm all, you know.
Yeah, bro. Those could be 3-hour lessons. Just letting you guys know, it's going to be 3-hour lessons on those. You know, when the Most High, really give me something, you know, when He showed me something new, I start them off with a small project, you know, to see how it rolled out at the end. But then, you know, hearing, you know, you guys' words and wisdom and stuff like that, you know, it adds on to the other pieces I need to put to the puzzle. You know, so the grace of God is going to be even bigger. You know.
Amen.
If you don't learn it nowhere else, but you'll learn it here on this blog talk show. You know, to
That's
understand
right.
that you are special. You know, and you do play a big part in this thing just as well as the man do. So with that, you're the mic.
Amen.
Man, I got one question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
How much strength did it take for Sarah to accept the fact that she could have been another man's wife after being with Abraham?
Whoa.
Exactly.
Like I said,
and knowing
yeah.
the law.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the law.
The Lord had to step in big time on that one.
Man, listen. But he was all in, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good one, bro. You the hype man, bro. You the hype man.
No, I'm just saying, I'm telling you what the Father gave me. I'm listening.
Right.
I'm listening. I, you know, I'm just listening. I'm just saying what the Father gave me out of it. I'm sure everybody got their portion.
Everybody got their portion.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what the Father gave me out of it. It just reminds me of all of our mothers that was in this fight.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. Yep. I love it, man. I love it.
So, 2 and 3 is on the do list, and 4 and 5, look, I guess you just opened up another chapter in your book of Hubris knowledge, right?
Oh, yeah, well, I got to get a bigger binder, because I literally don't have no space in this big behind binder.
And listen, that's where we get down, get on. That's a real conversation mm-hmm. there. That's building a household of faith. You know, you're not building a bunch of Job mm-hmm. wives. You're building Deborahs now. That's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Nowadays, it's going to take the Deborahs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, dude, well, we don't have any more hands up, man. You have any closing comments? Anything before we, I guess, get ready to wrap it up? Everybody's in there, I guess. You laid it out there, you know, and they waiting on the next 2 or 3. But the mics are definitely open and nobody hanged up.
Well, it's all good. All praises, you know. Hey, if you ain't got nothing to say, I know you're probably a little shy, you know, but just, hey, take it in. You know,
hey,
take it in and apply it to your life, you know. And definitely just encouraging the women, you know, because me and this West Nile is real. Y'all literally don't have nothing, you know.
No, really.
Outside this Bible, yeah, you know, because I'm sitting here looking at the situation, you know, to be honest, ow, that hurt. Twisted around in his chair. But anyways, you know, she really don't have nothing, you know. It's just really important, you know, just as for to understand that, you know, hey, you got a big part in this thing, too. Don't let nobody tell you you ain't got no big part in this, you know, but you have your own flavor. You see, the world give that flavor to a woman as overstepping a man. But you can have your own powerful flavor by sticking to the pages of the book.
Amen.
You know, and that's the big thing here. That's the very big thing. You see, women are taught that, you know, being loud-mouthed and demanding and smiting her fists and tampering with her mate's, what's that word?
Ego.
Our mate's ego. You know, that's what they taught, to be loudmouth and to be pinpointing, picking at that. You don't want to be doing. but you have your own wisdom and knowledge and understanding that God has given you, that we provide with scriptures on how you can be a badass spade by just shutting your mouth and letting the Lord take care of that business instead of going off getting all crazy. But that's, you know, it's a lot of things. It's a whole lot of things. Like, I got this testimony, right? Okay, I used to work at this job, right? I used to work at this job, you know, majority women and stuff like that. And, you know, when sometimes when a man doesn't act a certain way, you know, I get it big, too. They say, well, you from Chicago. You supposed to be shoot, that, and the other drug. You know, you deal with all that kind of crazy stuff, you know? You know, but, you know, so they go all popping off at the mouth and all that kind of stuff, right? You know, just hold on with me, y'all. Hold on with me. You know, but one day this one girl said, why are you always doing that? Dude, super cool, this, that, and the other. Leave him alone. Let me tell you something. When that woman said that, I haven't had an issue with that problem in at least 3 to 4 months. So what does this tell us? Women listen to other women. But didn't the Bible say for the older women to teach the women? And just imagine if the women start teaching the younger women. They'll take heed to that real quick. I say something, so whatever. But when another woman says something, then they want to get in line. You know, that's a precept. That's another precept for his time as well. You know, just sitting back and just doing some thinking. But in all, sisters, making a long story short, you do have a part to play. And it's just not sitting down in the classes in the churches with your nice pretty dress on and your nice hair scarf looking around. There's way, way more to you than just that. You want a shot of everlasting life from the crown? And I suggest that, you know, we come together and read these scriptures that we provide, that we are able to do so. So don't let nobody take your crown from you. Don't let nobody try to put in your head that you don't have a big part to play, because you do. So take heed to that, hearkening to that. And you know, if you need some more time, hey, record the precept. But with that, I get the mic.
Amen. Well, that being said, man, great precept. Definitely a chapter in the book of Hebrews 9, man. Being strong in the word. That's a great, 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 great precept, man. That was awesome. Awesome, Doc. Well, just want to thank her for that. What?
Hey, Shalom.
What
are we doing tomorrow? Lord willing.
Oh, tomorrow. Oh.
Yeah, tomorrow.
What did I tell you?
Wait, the spirit of idolatry is on
Saturday. No, that's Saturday. The spirit of adultery. No.
I don't know why.
Now, all men are liars.
Yeah, okay. So tomorrow is all men are liars.
Yeah, tomorrow night is all men are liars.
And then on the Sabbath is the spirit of adultery.
Right, and the Sabbath day is the two, right?
Okay.
Took that and moved that from Friday night to the Sabbath day. And then we're going to open up with something different on Friday night.
Okay, so tomorrow night, Lord willing, all men are liars.
Right.
Okay.
And in the spirit of adultery, you're going to do a short series
on
that. Because we got to bring the spirit, and then you got to bring the physical. Can't hide that without first that which is, first that which is natural, spiritual, but man. Those of us understand the spirit, understand it's the word first, will come natural.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so that's tomorrow evening, all men are liars, and then the Sabbath day, that would be the spirit of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Brother Isaiah, I just want to ask you a question. Are you available to read on the Sabbath on Saturday? What? I already know who he is. That's his office. Yeah,
he's good.
Okay.
So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. For we edify someone. Catch a brother Isaiah Brown here every Thursday night at 7:00 p.m. for his wonderful precept, awesome precept, awesome, awesome, awesome. great, great preacher. Thank you for the encouragement. So with all of that being said, I want to thank you. Great reading, Brother McCormick. Absolutely. So with all that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. Before we edify, I want to say good sounds of the waters.
Read your Bible. Read your Bible.
Shalom. 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 Shalom come out of this world. It's ran by Satan. Through the most high, I've lost speed from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.